Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. Say, I got a woman way over town, good to me. Oh, yeah. She give me money.
Hello, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G. Bruce, how are we doing this weekend, buddy?
We're doing okay. A lot of football yesterday. God, it was the worst Auburn-Alabama game I ever saw in my entire life. Yeah. But there were some good games, too.
Yeah, there were.
Unfortunately, I was rooting for the Virginia Cavaliers,
so
and Virginia Tech shut them out 38-0.
So was I.
I actually got some sleep. I watched a pretty good movie last night, Super 8. Went to sleep, got up early this morning, got all my newspapers, got on the internet, got on my Twitter, and started rocking and rolling. But I tell you what, it was a fun Thanksgiving. I actually hit 2 out of 3. Actually, if you look at my blog, you'll think I went 3 for 3. But I changed my mind on Thursday morning.
You should never change your mind.
I know. And I'm old enough to know my first instinct is my best. I had the Packers in the over. We never hit the over. They scored 7 total points in the first half. But I changed to Detroit. And, God, they were terrible. I mean, and plus Kevin Smith goes out in the first quarter. He's done. And what a difference he was making. Detroit goes all the way down the field, like the Packers' defense isn't even there. And then they turn it over. They don't even kick a field goal. I think they went for it on 4th and 1 yard and didn't get it. So anyway, I had that working for me. I was right about Miami. They are as good as the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
We learned something about Miami and Dallas this week. Miami's not bad, and Dallas isn't very good.
Yeah, Dallas is not as good as everyone thinks they are.
No, they're not. And you know, I think Tony Romo might be one of the good things about the Dallas Cowboys.
I
do, too.
I like Tony Romo. I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan whatsoever. However, you have to give respect where respect is due.
How can you be with the zip code that you have? You have a Falls Church zip code, so you can't be a Cowboy fan.
I do. Well, I guess
Northern
now
Virginia
I have a,
is Dallas is not Dallas Cowboy.
I was born in D.C., but now I have a Baltimore zip code.
Yeah, I know, and so. I like Baltimore too because I do appreciate some things that they have. I did a soliloquy I was just telling you a minute ago. We're going to a 2-hour format, by the way, the first of the year. And we're going to have a lot more stuff going on with the fans up in New York with a 2-hour format. We don't have to rush through our show.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
They get to hear my golden voice for 2 hours.
You do have that going for you. You do have a good voice. There's no question about that. Your picks, on the other hand, aren't always the best, but sometimes they're very good.
I'm doing okay this season.
Hey, if you go to nhbowl.com, nhbowl.com, you'll see that somehow I went 5-1 against all my totals last week. I didn't have a positive week, but I was almost a push with my other plays. And guess who bailed me out? Your boy, John Harbaugh. And you know who really bailed me out? Mr. Harbaugh. Because I think Mr. Harbaugh and John Harbaugh and Jimmy Harbaugh,
don't do it to him, Jim,
all got together. All got together. And you know, subconsciously, you love your brother. And
yeah,
that's what they said
course.
When they met after the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you, man. You know, but let me just tell you this. Which of the two teams, this is what I said in my blog, can afford to lose that game? And it was the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. That was their second loss of the entire year. In the North Division of the AFC, they're going to need 11 wins, maybe.
Yeah, there's a fight going on there.
So, that was definitely what the doctor ordered. Hey, let's get started. We got some games. You know, we got some good games today. We got some pretty sucky games today. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to we're going to be coming to New York sometime at the beginning of January. We're probably going to do a show up there somewhere and just stay in touch with us. Probably be in a restaurant somewhere close by.
Fancy, of course, 5-star tuxedos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll be in my warm ups, and we'll be the easy guys to find. We look like kind of football on the weekend guys.
Every day of the week.
Once again, you're listening to Bruce Hall and Roy G. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Go to my website, brucehallsports.com, and or go to Roy G's website, which is sportsmancave.com.
Yes,
by the way, that's a great handle, buddy.
It's a great
name. Everybody's got a man cave of some
kind. That's
right. and you were one of the first ones that ever did it.
That's right.
Yeah, we're doing this show out of a man cave.
That's right.
We're doing and listen, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't give kudos to Matt Lynch. Matt Lynch is our producer. Matt, hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, buddy. And it was really nice having a parking space when we got here this morning. We really appreciate that. And he sends his wife on down with the kids, and we're in good shape.
Says, hey, if you could just leave.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Could you get out of here, please? We're gonna talk about Atlanta, Minnesota. Now, I made the statement, Roy, a couple of weeks ago. I'm never taking Atlanta again. I've had it with them. I had them against New Orleans. You know, they lost in overtime. That was the game where he went for it on fourth and a foot and lost 2 yards because he ran a lead play instead of a quarterback sneak or a bootleg or something, and they shut it down. They went down and, you know, I would say this. They made New Orleans' season by losing that game because now New Orleans is in the driver's seat.
Any really threw his defense under the bus by doing that. I mean, you got to have a little bit of faith in
their
defense.
They stopped them the last time out. Their defense stopped New Orleans.
The only reason why you go for it there is
if
you
don't want to give it. Yeah, you don't want to give it back to. Well, you really don't want to give it to Breeze again. But I got to tell you, I don't run that play. That was a stupid play. A lead?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the slowest developing.
You might as well have run a pitch sweep there.
Yeah, well, I'd rather see the pitch sweep because at least then Turner has a chance to pick where he makes his cut and run over somebody.
I mean,
he never even got going on the other one.
You got to go to the belly. In short distance, you got to make the play as fast as possible and at least give yourself a fighting chance in that situation.
Well, listen, the reason that I'm on Atlanta today is obvious reasons. Adrian Peterson is out indefinitely. Atlanta's supposed to have Julio Jones back. What the hell's with this kid? I mean, they spend all this money on the draft choice. They get him in there, and the kid can't stay healthy? I mean, come on. That's ridiculous.
And he's in a great position playing across from Roddy White.
Yeah, he is. And Tony Gonzalez? I mean, you know,
they wanted to be more explosive. Their defense, you know, was kind of holding it down last season, and they wanted to be more explosive. They thought they were too boring, and I guess they tried to change their identity and not patch up the holes they needed to. And now look where they are, trying to be explosive when then that's not who they are.
Yeah, and they're going to need to spend some money on some defensive players.
They do.
This
they
year.
Need to get back to the basics.
I think so too. You know, the Vikings are kind of in heavy-duty rebuild mode right now. I like Christian Ponder. I think he's going to be a decent to a good starting quarterback in the NFL. He's very athletic. He's got a good arm, and he's smart. He doesn't really take a ton of chances either. He doesn't really try to fight. He'd rather run it out of bounds. He'd rather run it out of bounds than do anything else.
He's got the short leash.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah, he does. But I got to tell you, on that team, you know, they need to get another quarterback in there.
Yeah.
You know what? That would have been not a bad spot for Orton because, you know, but they weren't. I don't think they were as high up on the list.
The Chiefs are pretty bad.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's take Atlanta for 3 stars. You know, I said I wouldn't do it. You know, Matt Ryan's 23-4 at home lifetime. He plays very well in domes. Thing they got to watch out for is Jared Allen, you know, the defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings last week, did not get a sack. So he's going to be, like, out of control this week. Michael Turner, he's solid. He's healthy. They got Julio Jones back. Everybody looks ready. I see Atlanta winning this game 31-14.
Especially because the other side, there's no Peterson, which is the only reason I'm ever on the Vikings.
I don't see them really doing the same thing with Toby Gerhardt.
Yeah.
Toby Gerhardt's okay, but he's definitely a backup. Let's go to the next game. Cincinnati-Cleveland. Who do you like in this game? I'm going to let you talk first.
I like Cincinnati in this game. I mean, Andy Dalton, how can you not like this guy? We were talking about him before the show about how he, in our minds, could easily be the rookie of the year.
Well, I think he should be. I mean, right, you know what? You're seeing, I mean, Cam Newton came out of the block so hot, so many yards, looking like he was going to set all kinds of records. And what is Cam doing now? He's pushing. He's kind of trying to do a little too much. Andy Dalton wasn't really on a short leash, but you know what I like?
They let him go.
Yeah, they pretty much did. And you know what he can do? He can fit that thing into a window. He can fit that ball into a very small window. He's got a good arm, and he's athletic enough and quick enough that he can get out of bounds if he needs to. He can run for a few extra yards. You know, when they played opening day, Cleveland lost by 10 in this game. And that was in Cleveland.
With Peyton Hillis before he went.
That's exactly right. And Benson had 121 yards in that game. I don't think Cleveland can stop the run. There's a lot of stupid stats out there. One of the stupidest stats you can ever look at is, oh, this team is number one against the pass. Yeah, that's because everybody runs the ball 40 times against the Cleveland Browns because they have the ball. Listen, Cleveland is nothing special. Now, Obanaya had a great weekend last weekend. Isn't he on your fantasy team or somebody's?
I have.
Actually, somebody I know.
I actually have Peyton Hillis on three different fantasy teams. So, needless to say, he's been riding my bench all season.
And them and the Redskins. They're mirror images of each other.
Oh, I know. And I do have him on one of those teams. He's my, because I picked him up because when Hillis went down.
Well, now we're in Cincinnati this weekend, and honestly, Peyton Hillis or no Peyton Hillis, I'm taking the Bengals minus the 7 here for 4 stars.
Now, for the first time all season,
right.
We're in week 12 now. Peyton Hillis is not the leading rusher for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Obanaya has been cracking it pretty good.
So maybe they have a chance, but no, there's no way. The Bengals are fighting for their lives right now. They're in a three-way battle with the Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers. There's no way they're giving up. There's no way they're taking their foot off the throttle, especially against a banged up, somewhat, you could call them an overachieving Cleveland Browns team, because I don't think they're going to win another game. I think they're going to go 4-12. I don't think they're any good. They have a good young defense,
right?
But that's the only thing to be excited about in Cleveland right now.
Well, you know what? They're expecting rain out there. It may be raining as we speak out there, but we are going to stay with Cincinnati minus the touchdown and extra point. Let's go to the next game. The next game is the Carolina Panthers and the Indianapolis Colts. Oh boy! Listen, 2-8 and 0-10. Who do you think is calling this game? It's got to be one of the worst announcing crews in the league. It's got to be. You know, Cam Newton.
Now that's the only thing that is good in this game is watching Cam Newton, because Indianapolis is still on suck for luck. They're leading the race. There's no way they're going to take their throttle off sucking for luck right now, because that's really all.
Well,
they
it's
have
the only
left.
Thing they got going on yeah. going on right now. And I did you get a chance to see him last night when Stanford was on national TV?
Yeah,
he looked good. I mean, he looked real good late, but you know, and it was Notre Dame, and they've got some good athletes. But you know what? For as good as this kid is, I'm not 100% sold on him as being that great of a quarterback. Now, don't get me wrong. If he goes into that offense that they have in Indianapolis, he's going to be fine. Because he's going to have, first of all, if they keep those receivers signed, he's going to have 4, 5, 6 receivers that can separate from the defenders, and all the ball's got to do is be there for him. You know, the thing I don't like about this game is I just think that both teams, the Panthers to me, just don't look like they're 100% there mentally. I mean, I've watched this team all season long. Slowly but surely, this team seems to be regressing. You know, they're 2-8. Steve Smith needs a big day with Cam Newton today. And if they can't get it against a team that, you know, where the quarterback has a 67-4 rating, they're not going to be able to get it against anybody. You know, I mean, I don't see this game. I see this game going over 46.5 points. That's the only thing I like about this game. This is one of the few games this week that it's not raining at the game and there's not wind. It's indoors. It's in the dome. I'm taking the over in the Carolina-Indianapolis game for 4 stars. I don't see any other way around it.
Next up, we have the Houston Texans minus 6.5 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. The over-under here is 37.
Now, this is, to me, even though Jacksonville is 3-7, this is a big storyline here. This is the first game that Matt Leinart started since 2007, right? I mean, it's been a while since he's even gotten in there. You know, there's a lot going on here. He should be fine. Listen, he's surrounded by the best running game in the NFL right now. That tandem is got to be as good as any tandem we've seen in recent years. You know, Matt Schaub's gone for the season. You know, Peyton Manning's out indefinitely. You know, he's not there. With him out indefinitely, the Texans are in the driver's seat of this division. I think they can win 12 games if they win this game today. And I've got them winning this game. They're only a 3.5-point favorite in Jacksonville against a team that has a pretty good defense. I think you'll agree with me. But they got two more starters out on defense this week.
Yeah, the Jacksonville's been banged up. They do have a good defense. We saw them put the Baltimore Ravens in check on Monday night. The whole world saw that. So the Jacksonville, they have the potential to be decent, but a lot of people are calling this Texans team one of the best teams in the league and the best team in the AFC. So now Leinart steps in. That was with Schaub. So now Leinart steps in, but Leinart,
they're not going to ask him to do too much.
Exactly.
I mean, he doesn't have to throw the ball way down the field. An intermediate – Matt Leinart was always a good quarterback in college. He really did have a great college career. Of course, he was surrounded by a bunch of All-Americans. Think about how many All-Americans from the defense and offense on that team he played on entered the NFL in the draft. It was like 9 guys in the first round. You know, it was Cushing. It was all those guys. You know, and I think, personally, the MVP – is not a player this year. It's Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans.
He really turned that defense around completely.
You know, I went to Texas last year. I went to Dallas to see my San Francisco Giants win the World Series. And when I was out there on Sunday, the day of the last game of the series, that night, that afternoon, I got to go to Cowboy Stadium. I got to see them play. I felt so sorry for Wade Phillips. He looked like a beaten man. After the game, they lost by 30 to Jacksonville. And that was when David Garrard looked like the greatest quarterback that ever played the game. Nobody was playing for Wade Phillips. Now, you know, a lot of these guys were the same players that we're seeing on the Cowboys this year, which is really why they're not that good, because their personnel isn't as good as everybody thought. Dallas always seems to get a free pass on what a great organization
it is.
Well,
they're America's team, right?
Well, whatever. I mean, they're not my team.
No.
And I got to tell you something. What I love about Wade Phillips is this is a guy that is maybe the most phenomenal defensive coach in existence. But he was in Buffalo. He was great. He ended up getting a head job up there. It didn't work out. He ended up going to Dallas, getting a head job there. But he's doing what he does best now, and that's coaching defense. Do you know, Roy, these guys have gone from 32nd in the league in defense to number one in 1 year.
And
how do you do that with the same player?
Exactly. It's not like he's bringing any big-name superstars here.
He's got the same players. The absolute same players. And I'm so proud of this guy, and I don't even know him. I've never even met Wade Phillips. I know Jerry Jones. I know his secretary. You know, I've taken Jerry to Super Bowls. You know, he's a great guy. He's fun to be around. But I'm going to tell you right now, Wade Phillips, that's the guy that I want on my bench. I'm taking Houston for 4 stars today. I see them winning with or without Matt Leinart. And you know what I'm doing to hedge here? I'm hedging with the under. Because I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored, definitely on the Jacksonville side. I don't see them scoring a lot of points. You know,
they average 12 points a game, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You know, Gabbert's improving, but he doesn't have any players. He's got Maurice Jones-Drew. You can't just keep handing the ball off to Maurice Jones-Drew. It just isn't going to do any good. We're going to take Houston for 4 stars, the under for 3 stars.
Next up, we have the New York Jets. -9.5 over the Buffalo Bills. The over-under here is 42.
For all you Jets fans in New York, I got my hands together. It's a Sunday. I'm praying. I'm praying to God. I'm praying to all the Jet fans. I'm praying to Rex Ryan. I'm praying to all of you. You got to win this game. Buffalo is going the wrong direction, Roy.
Yeah,
Buffalo,
absolutely.
Ever since they shut out the Redskins, the Redskins got some virus on them or something, and I'm going to tell you, because, you know, football players, they do a lot of touching. There's a lot of germs exchanged, a lot of bacterial infections and all, and whatever the Redskins have,
we've had it for about 20 years, and we just gave it right over to the Buffalo
Bills. They gave it to Buffalo in one game. And you know what? You know, they've had a lot of problems on their offensive line. They're going, I think, this week with their third center in like 2 weeks. And they've got a left tackle who's a third-string left tackle. They've got a lot of injuries, the Buffalo Bills do.
Their defense isn't that good. Fitzpatrick's been banged up, and Fred Jackson's not playing.
Hey, their last 3 games, they've given up a cumulative total of 102 points and only scored 26.
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
Well, they were playing – even when they were – so-called good, everyone's hot.
They were
pick.
Coming back a lot.
Exactly,
remember?
They were having big comebacks. They were slinging the ball around, and we're coming from behind against these teams that now are phasing out to not be as good as everyone thought they were.
Right, right.
So
I mean, we were excited to see everyone it in Buffalo was because Ryan Fitzpatrick was a great story.
Right.
Got his running back from Coke College. The kid, he's out. He broke his leg.
Yeah, the Bills in general were a feel-good story that everyone wanted to rally behind these guys.
Yeah, and they're in the East too.
Yeah,
you know they're in the same division. They're in the same division with
the Patriots
and the Jets. So everybody kind of roots for them anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Nobody wants to see. Everyone has watched the Patriot show for the past however many years it's been, and now everyone's ready for some new person to come under there and cut the reins. And that's how it is in every single division, except for maybe the AFC West and the NFC West. Nobody really cares about those divisions.
Right.
But in all the
I don't know. I do.
Well,
I do.
Well, there's a young man out in Denver who I really want to see succeed.
And I care about. I care about it. I really do. Anyway, let's figure this one out. We've already talked about why the Jets have a shot because Buffalo's going the wrong direction. Okay. Now I got a question for you, Roy. You know, Mark Sanchez.
That's what. Yeah.
You know,
I knew that was coming.
I don't think he's the guy. And the only reason I'm saying that is I've seen Mark Sanchez. You know, good quarterbacks will have a bad game once in a while. Tom Brady has a bad game once in a while. He had a bad game this year, okay? He might have even had a 1.5 bad games. Seems like Mark Sanchez has a bad game every other game.
He has that. He has
And look what their record is, 5-5. Both of these teams I have rated as okay teams. And guess what? They're both, and it says this on my blog. If you go to BruceHallSports.com and you click on my blog, you can follow what we're talking about here. But I have both teams rated okay because of the numbers, and they're both 5-5, which is okay. I mean, neither of these teams are better than average. Neither team right now deserves to be in the playoffs, and I'd really like to see Rex Ryan get in the playoffs. He's a fun guy to watch. You know, he's extremely entertaining. You know, he always tells you what's on his mind, and he's better for football, though.
No,
he makes football a much more fun. Now, let me just say a couple of nice things about Chan Gailey. If somebody from Buffalo is listening, let me tell you, this is a guy that you can tell when he's on the sidelines is having fun. This guy is a football coach. Is he a head football coach? Okay, he can coach as a head coach, but he's a great offensive coordinator. And in my opinion, that's really where he is best. Buffalo has taken some steps this year, but they haven't taken enough, and you can tell that their personnel was real thin. Because now that everybody's banged up, they're going to lose. And we're praying the Jets win this one by 20 to 30 points. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the St. Louis Rams.
You can talk about this game all you want, Roy. This may be the stupidest game of the day.
-2.5 over the Arizona Cardinals. The over-under here is 39.5.
Now, Sam Rosen and Chad Pennington calling this game.
There is
a surprise.
There's not really much to like about this game. Steven Jackson's a great running back for the Rams. That's a plus there. Bradford is what could be a young up-and-coming quarterback. Kind of unproven thus far, so you tend to lean towards the Rams here, but there's a guy who plays for the Cardinals named Larry Fitzgerald who is just a monster.
He's not going to have monster numbers this year.
Right,
doesn't have a quarterback throwing
exactly.
the ball.
Who's throwing him the ball? Now, in the beginning of the
John
year...
John Skelton.
Exactly. Now, at the beginning of the year, it was Kevin Cobb. Now, it's Skelton. And that doesn't give me any faith whatsoever in the Arizona Cardinals. They don't have a very good defense either. They're on the road in the dome. There's really nothing to like here.
They really didn't make a decision. Wiz didn't until last night or yesterday afternoon on who was going to be quarterbacking. And really, you know, I want to thank Jess Root, who's the beat reporter for the Arizona Cardinals, for sending me a tweet that basically said it looks like it's going to be Skelton. You know, that tells me that it was kind of a game time decision. But Arizona won this game in overtime when Patrick Peterson returned a 99-yard punt for a touchdown. Now, that was one hell of an exciting fourth quarter and finish in overtime in that game. But I got to tell you, you know, I'm looking at this thing. You know, Zona's been there. You know, Wisenhunt's been there. Russ Grimm is a great offensive line coach. But something's missing in Arizona.
This
I got to think it's the Bidwell DNA. I mean, he's still, you know, a Bidwell. And they're not getting any better. You know, this is a team in the West that should be 7-3, not 3-7. St. Louis, on the other hand, I don't know if anybody's going to be there next year, except a few of the players.
Bradford might not even be there next year.
Well, no, he's signed for two more years. But
that doesn't mean that he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Rams next season. I mean,
I don't think that Sam Bradford is the problem. I've seen him play against the Giants. Remember the Giants game? A lot of New York people will remember that game. It was an ugly, ugly game. As a matter of fact, in the Giant game earlier this season, the Giants looked worse than the Rams for two and a half, three quarters. But somehow, I think they returned a fumble for a touchdown and a pick for a touchdown. And they ended up covering the spread, which was unbelievable. And that was the only time I can remember in recent history that I've been on the Giants, and the Giants covered the point spread. And it was because St. Louis they had 11 drops that game. Sam Bradford hit 11 receivers in the hands, and the ball hit the ground. It hit the turf. And I got to tell you something. This game is so ugly. I mean, it's so ugly. I just got to quit talking about it. What do you think?
On to the next one.
All right. Next game.
Next game, Tennessee Titans -3 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The over-under here is 43.
You know, I was on Tennessee all week long. I loved it. Matt Hasselbeck, I knew on Tuesday he was going to be fine. Remember, he came out of the game last week, and they brought the kid the kid from University of Washington in that the Redskins were real high on. A lot of people thought they should have drafted last year, and he looked pretty good.
That was a stretch.
Yeah, but
taking him that early. I mean, everybody went after quarterbacks last year.
He looked pretty good though the other night. He really did.
He's a star.
Yeah, but Tennessee, let me tell you something about Tennessee. You know, this is a team that's sitting at 5-5. They can't afford another loss. Tampa Bay, you know, this team, you know, I'm not convinced that they've got the coach they need in place. I'm not convinced. I think their personnel sucks. The same people still own the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, it's the family that also owns the Manchester United soccer team. I think that they're basically just spending too much money in Europe and not enough money here. If you remember, Bruce Allen left the Tampa Bay Bucks to take the job. Actually, he got fired, released, and then he ended up taking the job, you know, quote unquote, as a general manager of the Washington Redskins, which we all know there isn't a general manager for the Washington Redskins. And Bruce, this is no offense to you, but you didn't call the shots in Tampa when you were there with Gruden there and with Tony there, and you damn sure aren't calling them with Dan Snyder here and with Shanahan here. Nobody's got to be. And I'm not even going to talk about the Redskins right now because we got them coming up in another phenomenal game today in Seattle in the rain.
That'll be a great one.
But I got to tell you something. Tennessee, you know, I kind of like Mike Munchak. I like him because he was an offensive lineman for 20 years in the NFL. He was all pro for like 15 years. He's a extremely good evaluator of talent, is what I understand from scouts that I talk to. And he's got a good group of scouts in place there. Tennessee is another one of these teams where the ownership group is a little different. You know, Matt Leinart was going to be their first pick 2-3 years ago. And they ended up not picking him and taking Vince Young, if you remember that.
I do. Mm-hmm.
They didn't take Matt Leinart because Matt Leinart at that time was dating Paris Hilton.
What?
Yeah, and the owner is an extremely religious guy that owns the team. And, you know, they just decided they didn't want to have that PR nightmare with Paris Hilton floating around. Little did they know, you know, Matt Leinart and Paris Hilton were together one night, two nights, 1 week, and it was over. So it didn't matter. You know, or we wouldn't be seeing the problems that they had with Vince Young. We'd have been seeing Matt Leinart maybe develop into a pretty decent NFL quarterback.
Maybe.
Yeah, but let me tell you, Vince Young wasn't the answer either.
No.
This guy is a backup.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever going to be better than a backup, in my opinion, because right now, every time he takes off, Roy, he pulls a hamstring, for crying out loud. You know, he gets hurt all the time. You know, I'm scared to death of this game. Who do you like in this game? This looks like a game that you would pick.
I like Tampa Bay.
Oh, Jesus.
I really like Tampa Bay here. I think Freeman is a young, up-and-coming quarterback. They've been putting up points. They've been, you know, getting squeaked out, it seems like, the past couple of weeks. They gave Green Bay a fight.
And yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. But, you know, Green Bay has let a lot of teams backdoor them recently.
That's true, but I'm not sold on the Tennessee Titans. I don't think they're really anything to be happy about.
And they're not that good at home. They've been whacked at home. Somebody beat them 41-7. Was that Texas? I think it was Texas about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You're right. They're not that good. And if you like Tampa, but, you know, they're only getting 3 points.
Yeah.
That's the thing I don't like about this game. Now, if Tampa was getting 7, that'd be a different story. And they'd be a great backdoor opportunity. I'm going to pass on the game, Roy. If you want to release it, you can release it. The next game is Oakland and Chicago. And, God, look at all the stuff that's happened in Chicago, Roy. Your favorite quarterback in the world, Jay Cutler.
I wouldn't call him my favorite quarterback.
Roy loves the Bears. I'd swear you were born in Chicago.
I do like the Bears a lot, and I think Jay Cutler is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league.
Who's going to win this game, though? This is a tough one to call right
here. I know.
When
I was making my picks today, when I was filling everything out, I wrote in Chicago.
Oh, and then, you're just a homer.
And then I went back and erased it, and I put it in Oakland. And now Carson Palmer.
And by the way, Roy, if you don't know this, he picks every game. He does that on his website.
Yeah, I don't pass games.
Hey, I tell you, if you go to nhbowl.com and check out my results, I've played more games than almost everybody else in the National Handicappers Bowl combined. I play, you know, 6-7 plays every week. Some people play none or one or two. I don't do that. I don't have an A play, a B play. You know, I'm usually a 5-star, 4-star, 3-star. If I don't think about a team as being good enough to be 3 stars, I don't want to play the game, right? I mean, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. Don't you think Carson Palmer is ready now?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. He jammed some throws in there last week.
Yes.
I like Carson Palmer. God, I wish the Redskins had him. And I hate to say that, all these New York fans listen. But, you know, the Redskins are going to suck until I'm 90 years old because Dan Snyder will probably outlive me. You know, Chicago, Caleb Haney, he did a pretty good job coming in the playoffs last year when Cutler got hurt.
And now, and the Bears don't exactly, I mean, they sling the ball, and Cutler, I think he is the top 5 quarterback in the NFL this season. I really like Cutler, but
he's looked good recently.
The majority of the offense of the Chicago Bears goes entirely around Forte.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, the guy's having an MVP year.
And by plugging in Haney, does that really change the game plan that much?
No, he's going to be able to service that offense well. He's got a better arm. He's got as good of an arm as Cutler, and Cutler's got a rocket. But they say Caleb Haney throws a really good deep ball, and he throws a good intermediate ball. All they're going to have to do is sprint draw if they can get the corner. Forte will get him. I bet he touches the ball 20 to 25 times today.
At least.
And he's going to be catching the ball out of the backfield, too. You got to remember, Oakland, they've had some issues with injuries in their front seven. They've been all over the map on defense this year. But I got to tell you, you know, they've got a couple of guys out, but Bush is playing, and McFadden is a game time decision.
Yeah, he could play. And I don't know if he'll like that or not.
No, he'll be limited. He'll be limited.
Yeah.
Listen, if Darren McFadden can't go 100%, he can't play. And they know that because the guy is an absolute animal. He reminds me of LeSean McCoy. They're both very similar runners.
Yeah.
They both run with their knees very high. They're both north and south guys. They get to a little break, a little seam, and they're going right at the goalpost. I love this game. I love this game to watch it. I kind of like the over because I think Chicago's going to be able to score on Oakland. The only thing I don't like is, you know, we're not really sure what the weather's going to be like out there. I'm going to pass on the game, Roy. What are you doing?
I like Oakland, but if I were to have to pick, it's not a must play for me. I would pass, but since I pick every game, I got Oakland.
All right.
Next up, we have the Seattle Seahawks -3 over the Washington Redskins. The over-under here is 37.5.
7-13 cumulative. Boy, does this game suck. I tell you, I hate to keep saying that every time I see Washington. Now the Redskins last weekend, Roy, and you were there. That was a pretty good game.
It was the best they've looked all season.
Now, if they'd have let one of the plays go that they ended up challenging and they ended up getting back, you know, it'd have been 17-0 Dallas. It might have been a totally different game. But because they, you know, challenged and they got the ball back, the Redskins scored next. It was 10-7 game. I got to say this, though. You know, I think more than the Redskins being good in that game, And if Graham Gano kicks the field goal, they win the game.
There was two missed big misses by Graham Gano.
But remember what we talked about, and this is an NFC East listening group that we're on the radio with right now. A lot of this problem is that Dallas isn't that good.
Right.
It's not that the Redskins are any good.
No, and the Redskins
they're not.
They're not back. Their offense hasn't turned the corner like Rex Grossman thinks it has. The Redskins are. They got up to play their rival, and now they're going to go lay back down.
Talk about two great quarterbacks, Roy. Tavares Jackson and Rex Grossman.
This is going to be a bang.
Turn it off. I mean, there's got to be B movies on TV that are better than this. Just turn it on NFL Red Zone, for crying out loud. Don't watch this game unless you're a Seattle fan or a Redskin fan. There's just no room for it. Personally, I think it's a toss-up. You can flip a coin. Now, one of the beat writers for the Seattle Seahawks this week told me he thought Washington could win this game. Doesn't that tell you a little that Seattle's a lot like Washington when their beat writers don't have any confidence in them? I mean, that's exactly what the guy's telling me. And if you talk to
the Redskins beat writers are saying the exact same thing. Seahawks are going to take it.
Nobody's got any confidence in anybody. Now, you know, we're getting a few guys back on the Washington side of the ball, but we're getting 70-80% offensive linemen back that have been banged up. Mm-hmm. We've already had to, you know, that we can't run the ball. Our leading rusher is Roy Helu for how much? 242 yards. I mean, it's ridiculous. What game are we in?
Yeah.
Our 11th game of the season, and you know, it's unreal. Tavares Jackson has 7 touchdowns, 11 picks. Rex Grossman, 8 touchdowns, 12 picks. Roy Helu and Ryan Terrain. Now, these are our two leading rushers for the Redskins. 248 and 192 total yards. That's unbelievable.
That's who's playing today.
That's exactly right. That's who's playing. I mean, they have no running game. Their defense is on the field 32, 33, 34, 35 minutes a game. I'm passing on the game. What are you doing? Who did you pick?
I pick every game, and I pick the Redskins, but I would not touch
You're
it with
such a homer.
I've bet against the Redskins the past 7 weeks, and now it's time to get back on with a crappy team. But they're gonna lose.
All righty.
Next up, we have the New England Patriots.
A real game.
-3.5.
It's unbelievable.
Over the Philadelphia Eagles. The over-under here is 50.
I got to take my daughter Emily back to college this afternoon, but I'm TiVoing this game on a separate TV. This is going to be a great game to watch. The New England Patriots, in my opinion, are just figuring out how to win. Look, you know I like Belichick. In my opinion, he's the best coach in the NFL. He's definitely the best defensive mind, he and Wade Phillips. And Dom Capers. I'm not a big Greg Williams fan. I think he's kind of a jerk, and maybe that's why I feel that way. And if you look at Greg Williams' numbers with New Orleans, they're not all that great. Now, he may not have the personnel that he needs this year with that team, but at least he's keeping them in games. But Drew Brees is the one that keeps them in the games. Let's just look at this right now. We've got the two best coaches. Longest tenured coaches in the NFL are in this game. You got Bill Belichick, who's been the coach of the Patriots 12 years. You got Andy Reid, 13 years. They're the top two. These are two of the best organizations in football. But look at the difference in their records. Philadelphia with their dream team, which is, you know, not really what they are. They have no real leaders on that team.
Zero.
They've got a bunch of talent, but they're almost like an NBA team that stinks.
What's that saying where there's too many Chiefs, not enough Indians?
That's exactly what the saying is.
That's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Absolutely. And you know what? Look, this is a must-win for Philly. They lose, their season's over. New England, on the other hand, doesn't have to win the game, but I'm going to tell you right now, you know, 80% of the betting public right now is on the New England Patriots. They're also on the under, which I find hard to believe. I like the over in this game. It's 50.5, but you know, as soon as I found out Mike Vick was not starting, I got off of that over, and I'm not leaning towards the under. I'm leaving it alone. I know you like New England here.
Yeah.
I like New England too, but you know, this is exactly the kind of game that Philly can win. And look what they did last week. They go to New York, beat the Giants, which everybody that listens to our show knows I love the Giants as a road warrior.
Right.
I don't play them at home. I played them once this year and got lucky against the Rams. I'm telling you right now that this could be an Eagle win because they got to win. They got to give LeSean McCoy the ball 20, 25 times this game. They don't need Vince Young to throw the ball that much. He really isn't quite ready to take over that offense. And last week, to his credit, Roy, he made some nice little tight throws.
He did. He looked decent. He did.
But it's just a matter of time before that O-line of theirs gets him killed. That's their weakest point is their offensive line.
And we've seen that. We've seen it with Mike Vick, who can move a lot better than Young, and Vick got hit around. So Young's going to get hit around. But the thing here is New England's defense is not that good.
No, they're not, and they're playing a mass unit. They got practice players everywhere. Shoot, last week they had Julian Edelman playing defense.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, he made some great plays.
He did. He
missed a couple of tackles, but he flies in there and makes the running back stop, and then somebody else hits him. I heard a really interesting stat you'll like. When Tom Brady throws to tight end Gronkowski, And by the way, Rob Gronkowski, what a stud this kid is.
He's a manimal.
Did you see him land on his freaking head?
Yeah.
How the hell did he get up after that? And then they interviewed the poor kid. When you have a concussion, you're not supposed to get interviewed. You're supposed to go put ice on your neck.
He must have forgot.
But you know what? Hey, 88% of the times that he is thrown to in the red zone, in the end zone, is completed to him. 88% of Brady's throws to him. That is, you have to mug the guy. Now, I was listening to a few people, I think it was NFL matchup this morning. It might have been Haji. It might have been, they got to get their hands on Gronkowski. You can't allow him to get a free takeoff off the line of scrimmage, because if you do, he's going to outrun all your defenders, and he can outjump and outcatch all the defenders. Aaron Hernandez should be almost 100% this week too, and he's going to play also. Welker's getting healthier, but he still looks a little slow to me, and I guess he was taking care of a leg, wasn't he? Didn't he have a hammy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to like New England here, because Philly is just, they're like a circus of errors. You know what? I'm going to pass on this game. You like New England.
I do.
Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the San Diego Superchargers, -5.5. Over
North
the,
sucks.
Over
I'm sorry.
The Denver Broncos, 45.5.
Yeah, that it is pretty funny, this game. Let me tell you something. I'm taking the Tim Tebow's. I'm gonna ride that guy like the thoroughbred that he is, Roy. And I'm gonna tell you something. I wrote a pretty nice letter to a couple of people 2 weeks ago, because I really feel like this guy catches so much crap because of his beliefs.
Yeah.
He really does.
No, absolutely.
What has the United States turned into when it's, you know, they don't like a 26-year-old virgin that believes in God? You know, it's like he's a freak. He's a this. You know what? Why don't you all get a life and go to church or something? I mean, the point I'm trying to make is leave the kid alone.
Yeah.
He's playing football.
The guy's a football player.
He's
Bottom
a great
line,
football player,
period,
too.
Period. Explanation.
Until he gets banged in the head like Gronkowski. Now, if he lands on his head like that, he's coming out of the game.
He'll pop right back up and fly over to the huddle and line up under center.
You know what the
play.
Key has been since he took over 5 games ago? And by the way, they're 4-1.
Yep.
You know, John Fox, you know I don't like him.
No.
John Fox was headed to another 3-4 win season with this team this year until somebody told him to put him in, because Fox didn't put him in on his own.
No, he's
not.
He
did not. He didn't want to play him. You could see it in his face. How about Elway pretending like he was happy that he came back and won last week? Personally, I just think Elway doesn't have a very good smile. I mean, maybe that's his problem.
He's got a horse mouth.
Yeah, well, he's got horse teeth, that's for sure. But he's also got a great arm. And I got to tell you, he's got to like this kid, because I remember when John was young, he ran a lot. He was a great athlete. He was drafted by the New York Yankees as a pitcher. He was an outfielder in their organization. Great arm in the outfield. He had an 80 arm, and he had about a 50 bat. He probably wasn't going to make the big leagues anytime soon. That's why he signed to play football. And, you know, he was one of those situations where he didn't go where he was drafted. if you remember. I forget who drafted him, but it wasn't the Denver Broncos. The thing I like about this game here is Denver gets McGahee back. Dawkins is about 100% now, you know, and they're bringing it with their defense. You know what Tebow's got going on that team? Their defense wants to just beat up the other side. They want Tebow on the field so they can watch him play. He's a fun guy to watch. When he was at the University of Florida, how many games did they lose in the 4 years he was there? Three? Was it three? I think it was three or four. They hardly ever lost because this guy just did not allow them to lose, and that's what he's doing in Denver. And you know what? He's playing North Turner's team.
He's
now,
a freak.
Now, let me just say this. There's a potential Hall of Famer on this team in Phillip Rivers, and I love Phillip Rivers, but I don't like anybody else on that team, and I don't like the coaching staff. I'm taking Denver plus the 5.5 points for four or five stars. I can only play four in it because I don't have enough stars left, but I'm going to play it for four stars today, and I love that pick.
No, I absolutely love the Denver Broncos here, and Elway was drafted by the Baltimore
Colts. Hey, Von Miller. Ellis Doomerville, Champ Bailey will be covering Vincent Jackson everywhere he goes on the field. Come on, Tim, let's do it.
Next up, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers minus 10.5 over the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, if I was a Steeler fan, I'd take them today because even with a broken thumb, Ben Roethlisberger should be able to handle Tyler Palko and his Chiefs. They looked the other night in the first half. You know, if you remember that game with New England, everybody was all nervous. I had the Pats. That was a big comeback game for me. Guess what I did in the second half? I fell asleep. I woke up in the fourth quarter with a minute left, and it was 31 to 3.
It was bad.
So I covered, but I didn't hit any overs in that game. And I got to tell you, I just don't think Kansas City's got it. Now, they picked up Kyle Orton off waivers this week.
Doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything at all. But you know what it does mean? It does mean in a couple of weeks we may have to take a look at Kansas City because Kyle Orton is a totally different quarterback than Palko. This guy's a little left-hander. He looks like a high school quarterback. I really don't know what's going on.
Palko has a baby arm. It's the definition of a baby arm. I was watching that game, and the guy completed passes last week.
No,
and
I have no
idea how he did it. The guy was throwing a sidearm, underarm. His shoulder pads were too big for him. Type of throwing.
Well, they were doing everything with him they could. And to be honest with you, I don't want to waste a lot of time talking about this game because I'm not on Pittsburgh.
I'm on Pittsburgh.
They're minus 10.5, minus 11. I'm not on them because I just don't. Sometimes Pittsburgh just doesn't show up.
This is a must-win.
And Kansas City is one of the few venues in all the NFL. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's one of the few venues in the NFL where you can't get tickets if you're on the other squad because the Kansas City fans are extremely loyal. They go to every game. It's not like Washington where when we had the Packers here, there were more Packer fans. When we have the Steelers here, there's more Steeler fans. There was a time before Daniel Snyder owned the Redskins when you went into RFK Stadium and you were like lucky to even find a ticket to get in. That's not the way it is longer. Let me talk about a couple of guys here, Roy. Antonio Brown. What a stud year this guy's having out of the slot. And Wallace is their deep threat.
He's a beast.
He absolutely is. You know, I'm going to leave this game alone. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the New York G-Men.
This is going to be the best game of the week.
And you have them plus 7 over the New Orleans Saints.
I'm taking them plus 7, too. That's why I put their name first, over the New Orleans Saints.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Tommy Coughlin, Eli Manning, you know, Brandon Jacobs, yet this that defensive line, Yumanura, all you guys, you got to get it together. You're down in New Orleans. You're having something good to eat today and tonight and tomorrow. You guys got to get ready to do business. You have to win. This is a must win, in my opinion, for the Giants. Because if you look at the rest of their schedule, there's not really hardly any easy games on their schedule. I like the Giants in this spot. They may not win the game, but I'll be damned if they're not going to be leading in this game at some time. I'm taking the Giants plus the 7. You know, Breeze has a touchdown pass in 37 consecutive games. That's an NFL record. He's thrown a touchdown pass in 37 consecutive games. He's got a triple threat in the backfield. He's got one of my favorite players of all time, Darren Sproles.
Yep.
Then he got from who? Norv. How'd they let him go? How do you not pay him whatever he needs? He's gone, and he plays for the Saints now. They've got their first-round draft choice out of Alabama, Ingram.
Yep.
And they've got Pierre Thomas, who is unbelievable coming out of the backfield, catching screen passes and sprint draws. These guys combined should touch the ball, in my opinion, 40 to 50 times a game. But they don't. He still throws the ball. He's got Jimmy Graham. He's throwing to him out of the tight end slot. And he comes out with these tight end formations and does a great, great job. Drew Brees has completed 57% of his passes targeted over 15 yards in the NFL. He's in first place out of all the quarterbacks by far. This guy's great. Let me ask you a question. Who would you take in this game?
Somebody holds
a gun to your head.
I have the Giants. I have the Giants in this game. Now,
I've made a believer out of the travel thing with you, haven't I?
Mario Manningham is probable. He might not play today, but that doesn't matter because there's a young man playing in New York right now who is just playing out of his skull. His name is Victor Cruz, who is playing out of his mind. And Hakeem Nicks is starting to come back. They have a good backfield. Eli is still Eli. He's still playing good. Do I necessarily think the Giants are going to win straight up? I don't know, but I do think this is going to be a close game. I think that Eli can pull apart this New Orleans
defense. I'll tell you what I like about this game. It's indoors, and it's in New Orleans, which means that they are going to throw the football. The Saints are. He throws more passes usually at home than he does on the road. I'm taking the over 51 for 5 stars. I love that play. And I'm taking the New York football Giants to cover that spread. +7. I don't see any way around it. I really don't, Roy. I see the Giants going 7-4 here and getting ready for their stretch run. The Giants are the best team in the NFC East.
Yeah.
There's no question
Absolutely.
About it. The Dallas Cowboys are okay on their best day. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, if they get beat today,
they're
4-7. They are done, and the Washington Redskins should be playing in the Big East, not in the NFC East. You know, I like New York here. I love Eli Manning. You know, when they get beat like they did last week at home, Tom Coughlin usually gets those guys together, and they have a good week of practice. They take care of some problems they're having. They're not going to have Bradshaw back. That bothers me a little bit. Does that bother you?
A little bit. I mean, Jacobs is still a great running back, so No, it doesn't really bother me all that much, especially when you have a young star in Victor Cruz showing up on the wing. So, no, I mean, a little bit, but no, not really.
You know what? You know what? I really think that the Giants, this is probably their most pivotal game of the year. And the thing I really like about it is I love them when they're on the road. Something happens to the Giants when they travel. You know, I don't know if it's because they've got a lot of veterans, you know, on that team. I don't know. You know, the other thing that you got to consider here, this is Eli's hometown.
Yeah.
I mean, Archie and his mom live in New Orleans.
He's going to get a good
home. He went to high school 5 miles from the stadium.
He may not even been in New York since Thanksgiving. He could have eaten Thanksgiving dinner down at his parents' house in New Orleans.
No, they just left.
Just skipped out.
I think they're leaving today, as a matter of fact. They might have gone down there last night. A lot of times they'll leave Saturday night, spend a whole day there, do walkthroughs. They'll do walkthroughs today. They might even work out today. But anyway, I'm taking Eli. I'm taking the Giants. I'm taking Tom Coughlin. And this is what we're doing. We're going to take them. This is going to be a big week for me. I got a feeling. Let's go over the plays real quick. No, let's not. If you haven't been paying attention, you got to go to my blog, BruceHallSports.com. That's BruceHallSports.com. You can go to SportsManCave.com, see what Roy's got to say about today's games. It's been a great day. I'm looking forward to the rest of the day with the football. I'm going to be in the car for part of the day.
Yeah.
So I'll be searching around for all kinds of things. Let me tell you something. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall.
This is Roy G.
Hey, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.